Mighty God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. Amen. Katie, my wife, and I have a long-running disagreement. Not really an argument, just an ongoing debate that has raged for the 21 years that we have been together at this stage. And it is simply this. I firmly believe that when reading a book or watching a movie, if you have the spoilers, it shouldn't ruin the movie. If it's a really good book or movie, it should be able to withstand the person enjoying it already knowing the twists and turns. However, Katie does not like the ending of a book spoiled or the twists and turns to be revealed before she has read it or watched it. And so oftentimes in discussions of books that we have together, and we oftentimes read the same books, I will be saying something like, oh, and did you? And she's like, no, I have not gotten there yet. Do not spoil it for me. So this morning, in case you agree with my wife, I'm afraid I'm going to spoil the Bible for you. So if you don't want the spoilers, please cover your ears. Okay. Jesus wins, and those who want to be a part of his kingdom get to be a part of his kingdom. All right, now, if you have yours covered, you can uncover them now. I can't promise I won't give you any other spoilers, but that's the big spoiler, okay? And here's why that's important. When we come to our Genesis passage this morning and we talk about Abraham, we have to understand that he is at a certain spot in the story. And it's a very confusing passage, right? It is a confusing passage. It's a hard passage to swallow. It kind of feels like God is being tricky, which doesn't feel super comfortable, right? And so I think about God as the creator of this story. And then I think about a time when I walked in on my wife a few weeks ago. She writes, and she's writing a story, and she's bawling her eyes out. And I say, sweetheart, what's wrong? She goes, I have to kill off one of my favorite characters. And I paused, and I thought, and I said, okay, you're the author. Why do you have to kill off the character? And she said, well, it's not the story that I'm writing. I can't just change it. And it's not the world that I've built. I can't just do that. It wouldn't be true. I think oftentimes if we think of God as the author of this story, we have to think about the world that he's created, and we have to think about the story that he's writing, and we have to think about the fact that, well, I'll just ask, how many of y'all have ever been reading a book, and early in the book there's a character you just really don't like, but then by the end of the book they're your favorite character? That's just the part of a story. That's how plot develops. And this is a book. The Bible is a book with a very thick plot. Now, we know the ending of the story, and actually, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Abraham at least sort of knew the ending of the story, because when he takes Isaac up on the mountain, he has complete faith that God can raise Isaac from the dead. And yet we still need this moment in the story for some reason. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening. I have to think God is a good author, and so there must be a reason why we need this moment in the story. Dr. Fant, who used to teach at Union and had several roles at Union, is now at Greenville College, said one time, the job of a writer is to create characters and throw them into a world together and record what happens, only intervening to keep them on the plot. And I think while that might not be a perfect analogy of what God does, and we can get into conversations about free will and sovereignty when there's more time, the reality is that's sort of what's happening here. God is letting Abraham develop his faith. And Abraham is one of those characters who oftentimes seems to not be following the plot very well. But in this moment, there's this intervention. Why? Abraham is confident in the end of the story, but he's not always on route in the way that we think he ought to be. So God takes him up to the mountain to remind him that God's ways as the author are better than Abraham's ways and our ways. It's not to demonstrate to God that Abraham is faithful. It's to demonstrate to Abraham that God is faithful. So what do we say then? If this is sort of the whole scenario that our obedience is really for God to show us he's faithful, does that just mean that we should be disobedient? Well, no. I mean, we just read in Romans, we don't sin more so that we'll get more grace. But Paul helps us understand how this all fits into a plot. God is asking us to live as people who know the ending of the story. We're participating in a chapter right now that we might not always like very much. In fact, sometimes we might wish that we could rewrite the chapter that we're dealing with right now. I don't know about y'all, but I look out at the world and even at my own life, and oftentimes I'm frustrated with where we're at in the plot. So I need reminders. I need reminders that God has this plan to take us forward to his perfect conclusion. So Paul reminds us of this. He says, we're not slaves to sin any longer, we're slaves to righteousness. Sin ends in death, but righteousness ends in life. Or maybe another way to put it in literary terms, we're not slaves to tragedy any longer, we're slaves to comedy. We're part of an epic romance between Christ and his church that will have a happily ever after. That is a foregone conclusion. That is where the author is taking the end of the story. And Christ, as the author and perfecter of our faith, wants us to be able to enjoy the story as he writes it, regardless of the twists and turns that it takes. So then what is obedience? What does obedience do? What does it look like? Well, I think to jump away from our literary analysis for a moment and jump into something I'm probably much more familiar with, which is football. As a Cowboys fan and a Mississippi State fan, I've followed Dak Prescott, the quarterback for the Cowboys' career, for a very long time. And one time he was being interviewed after a game, and the interviewer said, if you knew you were going to win a championship at the end of the season, would you practice as hard as you practice? And he thought for a moment, and he said something that has deeply impacted the way that I think about obedience to our faith. He said, I hope that I would practice at least as hard, perhaps even harder, not because it would change the outcome, but so that I would be prepared for the moment, and I would feel like I fit the moment. Our obedience is not what is going to get us to the end of the plot. It's not what's going to get us are happily ever after. But if you've ever read a really great book, you know that a really great author writes a story, and every chapter and every word and everything that the characters go through in that story is necessary for the ending of the book to feel right. If we don't participate in the story, then we're going to get to the end, and only by the grace of God will we still find acceptance. Only by his faithfulness to us will we be acceptable. But we want to feel like we fit into the story. So oftentimes when I talk to people who've had church hurt, I've had church hurt, maybe some of you have had church hurt, I will hear them say things like, I just don't want to engage in that. And I hear that. I do. There have been many times where I haven't wanted to engage. And I'll be honest with you, there are many times when I don't engage. But when I think about not being able to go to morning prayer because my work schedule simply doesn't allow it, I'm not angry at myself or fearful that God is somehow going to look down and say, well, where was Josh Monday morning? What's going on here? No, I'm disappointed because I didn't get to find the ram in the thicket. That's what happens here, right? When we come in here, it's not that we are showing off to God how obedient we are. It's God's opportunity to give us the ram in the thicket, to remind us he is weaving a plot that will bring us to the perfect happy ending of the world. The end of our Genesis passage, Abraham names the place the Lord will provide, because on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. When we're invited into these spaces of worship and prayer and contemplation, we are being invited to the mountain of the Lord, where we will always find that he provides. So when we are thinking about obedience, we oftentimes play it against sin. Even Paul does it in this passage in Romans. But really, not sinning is not obedience. The call is to obedience, not simply to not sin. The call to obedience is a call to come into the presence of God and to be reminded of His faithfulness to us. God is an author writing a story that allows us to meet Him as the author face to face regularly and be reminded of this promise that the plot may be thick now, but it will be brought to a satisfying conclusion. So the question that I think this passage calls Abraham to answer and calls us to answer every day is, can you trust the author and perfecter of our faith, despite the chapter that you are currently in, that the spoilers he's given are true, that he is going to provide now, and he is going to bring you into a happily ever after in perfect love and unity with the Trinity? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. Even when we are not faithful, we find you faithful. Even when, as the psalmist this morning cries out, "How long, O Lord?" Even when our enemies seem to be victorious over us, we are reminded that the beauty of obedience to you is that it is an opportunity for you to show us the end of the story, for us to flip to the last page. And even though we might wonder how on earth you're going to get us there, we can know with absolute confidence that that is where we will end. Lord, as we come to your altar and to your table this morning, I pray that you would impress upon us that we have the lamb caught in the thicket, already prepared and laying out for us in the form of your Son. That is the ultimate promise, that you have been so faithful even to the point of sacrificing your Son for us. Lord, help us to love you and be obedient, that we might better participate in your story. Amen.